So welcome to today. It's going to be an interactive session. I promise you I won't pick on you for any answers, but the person next to you will be your partner for the whole of this morning's session. So can you say good morning to your partner? The partner with the longer hair, if you and your partner look at your partner's hair, the partner with the longer hair, you are partner one. The partner with the shorter hair, you are partner two. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Now, this is what we do with the children. This is a good way of us not saying girl and boy. We're trying to move away from all of those so the children don't realize that they're in different partners, and it's a quick way for us to do it. It's quite fun. They do spend ages going, but if I pull my hair like this, then I'm the longer partner. And if I go like this, I'm really the longer partner. But it's a fun way to find out who's the partner one and partner two. So today we're here to talk about read, write, ink. Now, when I say it quickly, read, write, ink, people say, what is that? Well, it's Read, Write, Incorporated. It's a scheme from the UK. It's written by a lady called Ruth Miskin, who worked in London schools and schools throughout and created the spelling scheme because she realized that children weren't retaining their spelling words. Now, for you as parents, you'll know, especially if you've got children moving up to school, you practice a word, you practice it, you spend all Saturday on the way to soccer practicing it, and then when it comes to Monday, it's gone. After the test, there's no way they remember it. Now, the way in which this scheme works is it works to stop that, to prevent children from forgetting it. What it tries to do is it tries to get every type of learner. Now, we all learn in different ways. If you think of when you were in school, you studied in different ways. I used to write things on my window and pretend I was teaching a class. Who knew I was going to be a teacher? But that, for me, the visual was really important. Some people are auditory. I know some people in high school used to tape themselves talking, back in the days of tape cassettes, used to tape themselves talking and listen back to it. They were auditory learners. Some people really like to be involved, to touch things, to move things around, to have flashcards that they could work with. Those are the manipulatives, the kinesthetic learners. Now, it's important that when we learn something new that we approach it in those three ways, because children can be one of those learning styles. They can be a combination of two of those different learning styles, or they can be all three of those learning styles, and each child is different. If you think to your children, what helps them to learn, it may well be quite different even if they're siblings. So Read, Write, Ink, we have some really lovely resources. So what I'll do this morning is I'll talk phonics first, and as the phonics progresses into spelling, we'll do that too. So we have the flashcards for phonics. We have green word cards, which you'll see these ones over here, these little cards here. We have red word cards, which are tricky words, common exception words. So in teacher talk, it's the words that they can't spell using spelling patterns. Now, in the national curriculum in the UK, they want us to teach those words specifically. So it's words that don't follow. You know, with English, there's words that follow except for the exception to the rules. And there's so many exceptions to the rules that we actually have to study those rules. We have Fred the Frog. Have your children come home talking about Fred the Frog? I was in a reception class the other day doing an observation, and the children came to me and said, we'd really like Fred to come and eat some food with us. I'm just going to go ask the teacher because he does phonics, Fred, and he doesn't normally come out to eat. So Fred came to have some food at our table, but Fred is a little stimulus that the children use when they're sounding out, when they're not blending, when they're saying all the sounds. We have something called ditty sheets, which is just little phrases that the children learn. So once they start to be able to blend sounds together, it's that wonderful feeling of being able to read. And so that's what the ditty sheets do. We have the fiction books, the non-fiction books, and the speed sounds posters. So that's just the resources that come with this. How we teach phonics. So we split them into three groups. Group one are all our set one sounds. By set one sounds, I don't mean A, B, C. I mean the actual sounds. A, B, C, D. Turn to your partner, and I want you to have a go at saying the whole alphabet phonetically. Okay, 3, 2, 1. You don't really have to. I sense the panic in the room. Once you become a confident reader, that skill is not something you use anymore. So So as confident readers, which I think most of us are, we no longer need to use the skill of abacada. We don't use that phonic skill anymore. But our set one sounds are all the single sounds, the abacada. Then we go our set two sounds. Now, teacher talk for set two. It's two letters together to make one sound. We call it a digraph. It's really fancy. It just means two letters making one sound. And those are the simple digraphs, A, E, I, O, U. Then the set three, it becomes more complex. It can be a split digraph. So what we used to call the magic E, and it's when sounds, that same sound over there is making the A, E, I, O, U. But you can see it becomes more complex. Now each session, it's about saying the sound, reading the sound, and then writing the sound. Even from our very youngest, so we start term three nursery, and we move all the way up. So from term three nursery, they'll be saying the sound, they'll be reading the sound, and then they'll be writing the sound. Now we know research tells us that it's important that we go through those important steps. They say if you can say a word, you can read it. If you can read a word, you can write it. That's the same with the sounds. Every child will have phonics input in the week. They may have three or four sessions, depending on where they're at. We start normally the younger years with less because they cannot sit still for 30 minutes, and we don't want them to. And as they go up the school, they go in every day they have phonics in year two, but as they get to year six, they have spelling. And what we do is we stream for that. So if your child is learning set one sounds, the abacada, they're not in the same group as someone who's learning the split digraphs, which is not going to be fair for either of the children. What we do is we're going to have a little lesson. So, everybody, we're going to look at our new sound today. Our new sound today is, your turn. My turn, your turn. This is Maisie Mountain Mountain. Your turn. Maisie Mountain Mountain. Now, what we're doing is we're showing children a way to form the letter. Now, this is a really tricky one. Really gets them. Is it a n? Is it a w? It's something that confuses a lot of children. So, if they're going to say it and they're picking up a pen to write it, it's really easy to think, Maisie Mountain Mountain. And as they're saying it, they'll do it. Right. Now, we've also learned some other sounds last week. Can you remember them? Can you remember them? What sound is this? Again? My turn? Your turn? Ah. Ah. Right. If I show you this sound, I want you to tell me the little sounds that go, not the mnemonic that goes with it. This one sound. So let's practice. Your turn. Fantastic. Let's go again. Okay, are you ready? Now, do you see how you're on the edge of your seats? You can't wait for me to show you the next sound. That is how your children feel in phonics. Who knew phonics could be so exciting? But it's building them up so they know these sounds. They've reviewed them. They don't realize that there's a process beside it. They're reviewing them, and now they're learning a new sound, and there's lots of different repetitions of that sound. How do I write the sound? How do I say the sound? Now, have a look at these four sounds that we've got here. Now, with your partner, I want you to have a go at putting together three sounds to make a word. Off you go. Okay, so hopefully you will see that it's very easy now, if you know those sounds in isolation, to blend them. But you have to have the basis of those sounds in order to be able to blend them. So if we look at this, at, your turn. How many sounds did you hear? Show me on your fingers. Right, let's push them into your hand. At, your turn. Now, if you go to write it, are you going to remember the three sounds? Probably. What normally happens with children is they're so excited to write something, they get writing on the paper and they forget either the initial or the end sound. Sometimes they even forget the middle sound. So if they're pushing out, they're remembering, these are the three sounds I need to use, it's a good way when they go, they know that there's got to be three symbols to match the three sounds. Okay, so step one, we don't do a lot of writing because they're just not ready for it. It's more about the oral and oral acquisition. Now, step two and three sounds are a bit more complicated. Now, this one is oo. Oh, sorry, no, it's not. It's oh. Oh. Blow the snow. Now, the mnemonic, the little rhyme here, helps us to remember the pronunciation, especially when we get into our split digraphs where it's make a cake, it becomes really tricky. The children's favorite one is poo at the zoo. They love that one. It's a really good way to remember the oo sound. But this is how we do it. Now, if we do Fred talk, so what normally happens is the teacher will get Fred. Fred sits on their shoulder. They'll have a little chat. What's that, Fred? Do you want to do Fred talk? Okay. So I have the word buffalo. What word did I just say? Put it together. Buffalo. Snow. Snow. Right. So Fred splits them into their sounds and we can put them together to blend them. So that's how we do set two and three. So it's a bit more complicated where they're actually looking at the blending of letters to make words. Now, if we use this one, we've done it already, my turn, your turn. But what we talk about when we've got two letters together is these two are special friends. These two like to sit together. And when they sit together, they make a new sound. So these are two letters, one sound. So we're teaching the children already that they know that there needs to be two individual letters to make that sound. So what we often ask them to do is, if we're sounding out the word snow, is s-n-o, two letters, one sound. So they might put their fingers together. So they know when they represent that, they need to have both of those letters there. So we're not forgetting out the end of words, which so often happens. A lot of children, when you go to read their work, will write snow, S-N-O. Because they think they've got everything there, but this is a reminder that they need to represent everything. Right. So now I'm going to ask you with your partner to see if you can find the O on our poster. Point to it once you've found it. Oh, someone's ready. Some very slow mums this morning and dads. Is the coffee not kicked in? Right, it's over here. If you've pointed to it, it's over here. This is our simple sounds poster. So that's the sounds that we teach them that we go through. And here you can see the more complex sounds down at the bottom. Right, now the green word cards we spoke about earlier. So these are all related to the O sound, but you can see underneath we've got sound buttons. When there's an individual dot, it's an individual sound. When there's a line, it's two letters together making one sound. So if I said to you the word slow, can you count on your fingers how many sounds you hear? Off you go. Oh. Now I hope you've done your two fingers one sound for me. Check your partner. Next one, blow. Right. O. Next one, low. So there's two sounds really. Oh dear. What's happened here? We have a super tricky friend. So what we would do is we would get the children, when we show this, we would say that. We'd say, oh, what's happened here? No. Well, it's two sounds. But actually, it should be k-n-o. But do I say k-n-o? Ask your partner, do you say canoe? You definitely don't say, I canoe that. So we say no. And in this case, it's two letters making one sound. It's a silent K. What we would do is we would teach that. And the the more emphasis you put on it, if you say, oh dear, the more exciting it is. If you just say, this is a silent K, then they just, it's a bit boring. But when you say, oh dear, we've got a real problem here, they're going, what's the problem? Let's fix it. And so that's what we do to teach those sounds. And we all know snow. So we use, again, the sound buttons just to help them with the sounds in the words. Right. What I want you to do is with your partner, it's time for your whiteboard. If you don't have a whiteboard, if you can just write on a piece of paper. If you don't have a piece of paper, because we were completely oversubscribed, please come and grab one from me at the front, and we'll get ready to start our activity in 2 minutes. Okay. So the first word we're going to do is snow. My turn, snow. Your turn? Some children are very, or some mums are very eager. They're having a go when it's my go. Snow, snow. Your turn? Say the sounds, snow. Now what I want you to do is on your hands, I want you to count the sounds. Now write it on your board. Partner one, you should be writing the one with the longest hair. Partner two, can you check them? Right, if it's correct, tick it. If it's incorrect, help them to correct it. So do you see how we're moving away from a spelling test and the pressure of a spelling test? When you sat in a spelling test and you're going, I don't know if I've got the right pattern. I remember being in South Africa, I was in grade two, and the teacher would give you the spelling words and you couldn't remember what sound it was. And so I didn't know, I'd done the whole row and I got the wrong sound. And all 10 of mine were incorrect. This is a way for us to just be involved with their learning so that they don't feel the pressure of doing an old-fashioned 20 or 30 word spelling test. And it's a good way for them to know their sounds and for them to get feedback, to be used to hearing. If they get something wrong, that's okay. Have another go. Right, partner number two with the short hair, it's your turn. Now, we've got that tricky word. Do you remember we spoke about that tricky word earlier? Can you remember what silent letter did it have? Okay, what sound does a K make? Lovely. Right. So we don't say the K, do we? Because it's silent. So it's N-O. Your turn? N-O. Can you put the sounds on your fingers, please? Show me. Do you have two sounds? But do you have... Do you know that there's two special friends? Check. Did your friend know that? Right. Ask your friend to write it on the board. Right. Check your friend. If they got it right, give them a tick. If they got it wrong, help them correct it. Now, as you become more fluent with these words, as the children do, they become more confident with them, we would say, okay, now have a go at writing a sentence. But what we don't want it to feel is we don't want phonics or spelling to ever feel scary, because that stops great writing. We know that boys find writing more challenging than girls, and that's what research tells us. We also know that as boys tend to go up the school, their vocabulary gets smaller, because they're too scared to make a mistake. So they have these wonderful words in their head. They can write ginormous, humongous. They can write wonderful words, but they write big. Because you can spell big, and you're not going to get big wrong. So what we want them to do is have a go at being wrong. That's okay. You had a go. Because for me, as a teacher, if a child has made a phonetically plausible attempt at spelling a word, it's far more important for me to see that than seeing the word in a year six book, big. Then I know that child is having troubles with their spelling. But if I can see someone's got humongous and they've just swapped the O and the U, fine, they've had a go. They're using extended vocabulary. Right, and then what we do is we move on to actually reading the word. So they've had a go at writing it, they've sounded out the word, and now they read the word in their little books. So there's little books that are created with their sounds. Now, in any phonics scheme, so if you know the phonics schemes of Oxford Reading Tree, they can be quite bland. Because what they do is the story only contains the words that the children know. And so the story vocabulary is very limited. The storyline is always very limited. I've had a few hundred thousand probably read to me over the few years, and every time they find the magic key, and it gets a bit boring, really. So what we do is we have these city books, but we have linked texts. So you might have a book about a red dog. What we'll do is we'll look for some books in the library that link so that they can get some greater exposure to vocabulary, so we're not just keeping their vocabulary limited by showing them these phonic books. It's a balance. We want them to feel able readers, but we also need to expose them to new vocabulary, and this is how we do that. So we have the phonic readers, and we link it with some linked texts. Right, spelling test time. Okay, it's going to be a real spelling test. You can work with your partner. These are challenging words, but everyone's going to have a go. So whatever you've got in front of you, whiteboard or paper. Actually, if you can, on your unit, it says unit one, and then there's six lines. Can you see that at the top? What? So we look at all these different sets. So set two, so that would be in a set three sound, and we would do them one after the other. So we've done the O, now look at these words, it's ow. And it's just about correcting them. We would say to them, they have to have exposure to the variety of words, because with every exception there's a rule, and with every rule there's an exception, but we would teach them both, so they would have exposure to them both. So when it's in these words, it says ow, when it's in those words, it says O. So they know it that way. Okay, so on your speed spell, can you see that at the top of unit one? It says suffixes, unit one. Your first word, it's going to be challenging, so you can talk with your partner. Your first word is questionnaire. Okay, there's lots of chatter, so we must be finished. Your next word is liaison. 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 Now, just can I tell you, if this was a spelling test, I would give it to the children in a sentence, because otherwise it's too challenging. The next word, and this tricks a lot of teachers, so hopefully you get it right, is liquefy. 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 The next word, and it's getting trickier, is connoisseur. I hope that nobody's using their phones, just saying. Connoisseur, yeah. What? Connoisseur. Okay, the next word, this one really tricked me, and hopefully you never have to come into contact with it. It's diphtheria. Diphtheria, the disease. Thank you. Diphtheria. Diphtheria. And the last one for today is maneuver. Maneuver. I know, but English is a pidgin language. Maneuver. Maneuver. Okay, can you put your hands up if you think you got full marks? Is there anybody here who thinks they got full marks on that? Right, this is why spelling is important, because in the day of computers, in the day of spell check on everything, we need to be able to know how to spell. We will always write. Even when we do tablets, when we do computing work, we will need to know that, the skill of writing. So let's see how many you got correct. If you didn't get one, I'm going to pass them down. Do you mind just passing around, please? Do you mind just passing around, please?
There we go. Oops.
Sorry. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. That was challenging, right? Now, when children are writing spelling words, they don't know the amount of words that we know, so they feel just as you do, just as you did in that moment. Those words are alien to them. When we start to write words like sway, what even is sway? And other words like that, that's how alien they feel to children. When we're practicing them with our children and we go, why can't you just get the A sound? That's how they feel. It's challenging. There's too many letters. There's random letters in there that throw us off. So that's what becomes confusing for the children. Now we're going to carry on looking at spelling and what the children do in their spelling sessions. So over the course, it's a rolling, it's 12 or the 5 sessions with a number of activities, and they will roll over the weeks. So the first one we would do is a speed spell, which you've just done. Then there's something called Spelling Zone, which is a really cool online video with a little alien who grows up as they grow up. So when he's in year 2, he's really small, and as he goes up to year 5, he becomes really cool and is a bit of an alien, and they love him. And he talks to them about the spelling rule. So if you have a look at the activity number 1, take turns to read the words below, underline the root word. If you do that with your partner now, please. Okay, did you get jump, fast, hunt, shout, neat, light, and yawn? So we've added some suffixes here. Now there's some long vowel sounds and some short vowel sounds. Sorry? You don't have a paper. There's a spare. Let me see if I can get you a spare. Are there any spare papers hanging around? Oh, perfect. Thank you. It's like teamwork, this talk today. Right. Can you write a list of the suffixes you see on the words? Thank you. So number 3, write a list of all the suffixes you found. So did you get ing, which is already there? Did you get ed? Did you get est? Er? And that's it. Now those are the different ones. Now we'll have a look at the rules for those. So if you go to number 4, you are having to look at the rules for that without even realizing you and a partner are going to talk about what the rules are for suffixes. So can you do that now, please? Circle the ones that you think are correct. Well, it's saying, so have a look at these. Uh-huh. The last letter in each root word is a consonant or vowel. Is it correct, yes or no? And then just circle them. Thank you. Okay, right. So as you can see, you're getting them to think through the rule without saying to them, this is the rule for suffixes. They are working out the rule for themselves. What we also ask them to do is to go into things like using the dictionary. It's important that they have those skills to be able to access words that they don't understand. So the next bit is where they use a dictionary. Now, lots of children spell lightning incorrectly because when they say lightening. So that's what it's teaching. In the dictionary challenge, it's saying, look at these words. It's showing them the differences. So they're aware of it. They know when they go to write it which word to use. The next one, dots and dashes, that's super fun. So if you turn over to page 3. Now we've had a go at doing this. This is quite challenging. Is I want you to, with your partner, put the dots under each sound and the line under your special friends. So have a go at doing that and then tally how many sounds in each word. Yes, that's exactly right. Yes. Okay, we'll stop there and we'll count. For sprints, how many sounds do you think we had? Four? At five? Anyone for five? Five. Sp-r-i-n-t. Actually, six. Six sounds. Sp-r-i-n-t. Rest. How many do you think we've got for rest? Four. Jump. Four. Hunt. Rent. Four. Risk. Four. We don't teach the sk together as a sound. Ask is three. Rust is four. Buzz. Three. Float. Four. The O sound in float. Sweet. Four. The E sound. Rain. Three. The A sound. Loud, three, the owl sound. Dawn, three. Gain, three. Fight, we do teach the I sound, I-G-H. So that's a three. Shout, three. Hard, three. Proud, four. Okay, do you see how these activities are really engaging? Did you enjoy doing them?
Yeah.
It's so much more fun for the children that way. Okay, now let's have a quick look at the next bit. So then they move on to word changes. So then they're having a go at adding suffixes to the words. So that's at word changes. We won't do that now. Then we have words to log and learn. So now what we're saying to the children is, hold on a minute, that we've had a lot of new input of words. What words are you finding challenging now? The children then have a think about it, and they actually are super honest about it. I teach a spelling group on Wednesdays, and they go, oh, wrinkle, that was really tricky. And then they write it down, and they have little logbooks to write it down. So they're realizing that they are tricky words and what they can do to help themselves spell it. With dictation, the teacher will ask them to write a sentence. Now, this is part of the UK. What they want every child to do is to be able to do a dictation. So initially, when we were kids, we did dictations, and they took dictations away and said, there's no point in doing dictations, and now they've put them back in the curriculum. And so we do that as a part of these activities. Then they do four in a row. So it's a game where they have to have a go at spelling their words on their whiteboard, and their friend colors in. It's very interactive. Then what's really important is, and we go on to this, is allowing children to choose the right word. So if you have a look on page 5, it's choose the right word. And it's about them reading the word and putting the correct word in the correct context. Now that's very important, because when you hear younger children talk, they say, yesterday I was swimming. Because they don't realize that there's a past tense. And in that context, that word is incorrect. Or even when they say, today I'm swimming. So there's words like that, that this activity will help them to realize, that doesn't sound correct. I'm going to choose another option. Then team teachers, where they work as a group. So if we had to look at the word maneuver, they work as a group to help them memorize the word. So they might do a little rap. They might draw pictures. They might remember, give each letter a different word alongside it, just to help them remember it. So we're giving them different tactics to memorize words that are tricky. And then, again, it's the revision of words that they have been looking at with their teacher. So as you can see, it's about review, revisit, because children need multiple times exposure to a word before it becomes part of their written. I once heard somewhere that a child needs to hear a word 2,000 times before it becomes a part of their vocabulary. That's why every toddler says no, because that's all they've heard for the first 18 months is no, no. My very own toddler says no, 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 no to me, and so I know that I've been saying no too many times. But we know that 2,000 times is a lot of times, and so if we're reviewing it constantly, that child is more likely to retain the word and to be able to use it in context. What we don't want is for them to learn a barrage of super exciting words that stay in that catalogue and never get used in their writing, in their talk, when they're explaining something. We need these words to transfer to every aspect of their literacy. Right, that's it for me today. I hope you found it helpful. What I will do is I'll email the slides. I won't email them because I don't have everyone's email addresses. But what I will do is I'll put the slides up on our website, and I'll ask for them to go into the parent portal. I'll also put copies of these for you to have a look at. Perhaps you'd like your partner to do the spelling test with you this evening. You can tell them the trials and tribulations of your spelling morning at Dover Court. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you found it useful. Do support your children. And my number one tip for learning phonics and spelling is make it fun. If you make it something that they are bored doing, you're not going to get very far for them. But if you have them in the garden and they're writing, if you're living in a condo like mine, they're very sticky about crayons on the floors. But you might be able to get a whiteboard and write it. You might be able to write it in a sand tray. You might be able to write it with some of Daddy's shaving foam on the bathroom wall. All of these ways are ways children retain sounds. If we sat learning rote by rote, they don't retain them. So make it fun. Think to yourself, would I enjoy doing this? If the answer is no, don't make them do it. Try and make it fun and engaging for them.
Thank you for listening to the Dover Court podcast. Please subscribe to our channel.